Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim, and hello to all of you who were courteous enough to join us for the RTC Weekly Download. We have an interesting program for you here today. We're going to first feature a kind of a knockoff of The Shadow. In 1945, we had a program called The Avenger, and this guy has secret powers too, a kind of a cloud man's mind and so forth, where he fights against criminals. So it's kind of like The Shadow. I think you'll enjoy it. This is called The Avenger and the Ghost Murders from August 17th of 1945.
The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected two inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger: the telepathic indicator, by which he is able to pick up thought flashes, and the secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, The Avenger and the Ghost Murder. At the end of a long table in her darkened seance room, Princess Stella, the renowned mystic, sits motionless. Opposite her, a man leans forward, nervous and expectant. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a swirling spiral of white mist appears, takes shape, and from it comes a ghostly voice.
I am the spirit of Martha, your wife. Horrors, do not sell our house. We were so happy there. It holds many memories still dear to me. Keep the house, Horrors. Keep it. Now I must leave you, but I will come again. I will return. I will return.
Martha! Martha, don't leave me! Come back! Martha! She's gone! Princess Stella, call her back! Call Martha back! Princess Stella! Wake up! Wake up! Help! Help!
What's the matter? What's the matter? What happened?
Well, it's the princess! I can't wake her!
Don't be alarmed. I'll turn up the lights. She must have had a manifestation. It always affects her this way.
Yes, yes, she brought my wife back.
Princess, wake up. Princess Stella. She'll come out of it in a minute. Princess, wake up.
What? Oh, what is it? Oh, it's you, Mr. Jordan.
Yes. Are you all right, Princess? You frightened your client.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Was the seance a success?
Yes. You recalled another spirit for a lonely soul.
Princess, I saw my wife. She spoke to me.
I'm glad.
I think we'd better leave the princess alone now. She must rest.
Of course.
This way.
Well, how much did he pay you, Jordan?
$50, Stella.
Pennies.
No, Stella.
Well, I'm getting sick of going through this routine day after day for that kind of money. You promised
me... Have patience, Stella. I told you that before long we'd be cleaning up.
Well,
and I meant it.
Well, you'd better pull something out of the hat, or I'll retire. And then where'll you be, Jordan?
No, Stella, that's no way to talk. After all I've done for you...
After all you've done for me?
Shut up. There's a woman in the waiting room. You've got to see her now.
Yeah, well, she's in for a disappointment. I've had enough of ghosts today.
You've got to see her and talk to her, at least.
Ah, well, all right.
I'll bring her in. Then I have to leave. I have an appointment uptown with a fellow by the name of Brandon.
Mr. Jordan, what can I do for you?
Well, Mr. Brandon, I represent Princess Stella, the mystic. No doubt you've heard of her.
Well, yes, I have.
Well, Princess Stella is going to try for that $50,000 prize the Rollins Estate is offering for a genuine manifestation.
Isn't that rather a waste of the princess' time, Mr. Jordan?
What do you mean?
Well, so far, every medium who has tried for that prize has failed completely. Every so-called manifestation was promptly exposed as a hoax.
Oh, Princess Stella is in a class by herself. Those others were charlatans. Princess Stella is a true psychic. A genuine spirit medium.
Mr. Jordan, suppose you come to the point. What brought you here to see me?
You may be a scientist, Mr. Brandon, yet I feel that some of your ideas may be in sympathy with those of the princess.
Why?
Well, you've written some brilliant articles about your experiments in the field of mental telepathy. So I thought you might be interested in endorsing Princess Stella as a medium. Your word would go a long way in helping us.
Just a minute, Jordan. Let's clarify our terms. My telepathic experiments have to do with the concentrated thought waves of the living. That is a science.
Oh, but Princess Stella
is a very clever actress, no doubt. No sale, Jordan.
If we win the Rollins Prize, we're willing to cut you in for 10%.
No, thank you. I'm not interested. As a matter of fact, I'm on the other side of the fence completely.
You mean you're going to fight us?
In a way, yes. You see, I promised Neil Hayden, the Rollins lawyer, to act as a judge when Princess Stella puts in her bid for the prize.
You what?
I'm willing to give your client a fair enough chance. If Princess Stella really can produce a ghost, I'm sure the whole scientific world will sit up and take notice.
Well, thanks for being such a sport about it, Brandon. I think you understand my position. Even a true artist needs a little clever exploitation.
Yes, that seems to be a generally accepted idea.
Anyway, I feel we'll get a square deal from you, Brandon.
I'm merely interested in keeping things in their proper places, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I think Princess Stella's so-called manifestations belong strictly in the field of entertainment. Not to be confused in any way with any branch of science.
Perhaps the princess can convert you. Well, I won't take up any more of your time. I'll see you at the seance next Thursday.
Right, I'm looking forward to it.
I can find my way out. Thanks for the interview.
Not at all. Goodbye.
Well, of all the nerve, trying to offer you a bribe, Jim. That's the limit. I don't see how you kept your temper.
Fern, Jordan is playing for big stakes. And he's not the sort to leave any stone unturned.
Well, I don't trust a man like that. He's not only too glib, but too well-dressed.
He's a dandy, all right. Did you notice the spats?
How could I miss them? Jim, I didn't know you'd been asked to be a judge at this thing.
Yes. Princess Stella is by far the cleverest medium to try for the prize. And Neil Hayden isn't going to take any chances of being duped in carrying out the extraordinary terms of the Rollins will.
Who are the other judges, Jim?
Oh, you've met them both, Professor Gans and Dr. Strong.
Princess Stella isn't going to have an easy time of it.
No. Even though Gans and Strong are constantly at odds, they'll probably agree this once, that Princess Stella is a colossal fake.
Jim, can you arrange for me to go to the seance? I don't believe in ghosts, but I would
But you'd like to see one, huh?
Well, yes, I'd like to see what passes for a ghost.
All right, Fern. But in the meantime, we have a great deal of research to do.
What kind of research, Jim?
We're going to look into all the tricks that mediums use. all the accoutrements that the earthly ghost is heir to. The blaring horns and trumpets, the moving tables and the tilting chairs, and all known devices that have ever passed for ghosts.
Sounds interesting, Jim.
We mustn't underestimate Princess Stella, Fern. This seance will be a kind of challenge, and we can't let science take a back seat.
You're late, Brandon. Strong and I have finished with that side of the room. Nothing unusual there.
You don't mind if Fern and I have a look, Professor Gans?
Well, if you're not willing to take our word for it.
Go ahead, Brandon. There's plenty of time.
Thanks, Strong. This way, Fern.
So this is what a seance room looks like. I always thought they were done in black velvet. This one's completely in white.
Yes, the princess knows the value of contrast. She's a showman, all right. Now for the inventory. White painted walls. White rug that completely covers the floor. 8 straight back white chairs. Help me examine them, Fern.
Right, Jim.
They're all metal. No false bottoms.
Nothing could be hidden in these chairs.
Let's take the table next. That's all metal, too. Examine the legs, Fern.
They're single strips of metal, Jim. Nothing there.
Nothing under the rug.
Jim, there's no place to hide any ghosts in this room.
Certainly doesn't look that way. No windows. In fact, there's only one thing about this entire room that strikes me as a little odd.
What's that, Jim?
There are 4 radiators, 2 at each end.
Well, this is a very large room. In cold weather, I imagine all 4 of them are needed.
They're all cold today.
Are you ready, Brandon?
Yes, Strong, I think so. Oh, just one other thing. Did you and Gans go over the room for hidden wires?
Yes, we covered the walls and floor with a detector.
Guess that takes care of everything, then. I'll tell Jordan we're ready to begin the seance.
Put your flashlight on that corner. There's someone there.
Yes.
Jim, look. Something white, floating there near the wall. It's a ghost.
I see it, Fern.
Turn on the lights. There's something there, all right.
I'll do it.
Hurry, Jordan. It's gone.
Good heavens, Jim. It must have been a ghost. Look at the Princess Stella. She's in a trance.
Wake up the princess, Jordan. Wake her up.
Of course. Princess Stella. Princess, wake up.
Jim, this is more than I bargained for.
She's coming too.
What happened?
Brandon, Strong, help me examine this end of the room thoroughly. This sort of thing just isn't possible.
That was the strangest thing I ever saw.
A truly wonderful performance. There doesn't seem to be a trace of anything to mark the passage of that ghost.
Well, fellow scientists, what are we going to do? If we can't explain this manifestation, we have to award the prize to Princess Stella.
Not so fast, Strong.
Well, what do you suggest, Gans?
I don't know. What do you think, Brandon?
There's no denying it. We saw the ghost, and it's up to us to explain exactly what it was and where it came from. I think we'd better call for a repeat performance.
Right. I'll tell Jordan. Jordan, come over here.
Yes? Yes, what is it, Professor Gans?
We're not convinced, Jordan. We're calling for another seance.
No, I cannot. I am exhausted. I cannot.
Princess, the judges are within their rights. The terms of the will stipulate that 2 tests may be demanded.
Oh, I am faint. I cannot go through all this again.
Now, gentlemen, the princess is nervous and upset. Could we postpone the second seance until tomorrow?
Well, I don't see why not. What do you say, Brandon?
I think that's an excellent idea. Are you agreed, Gans?
Yes. In fact, I prefer that. I've just remembered something that may prove helpful to us. I'll need a little time to check on it.
We'll meet tomorrow, then,
Yes, Jordan. However, I'd like to speak to you privately for a few moments. Now.
Oh, certainly. Come into the other room. This way, please. Now, Professor Gans, what is it?
Have you and the princess traveled much abroad?
Yes, widely.
About 20 years ago, did you bill yourselves as the countess and the clown?
Why, no. That must have been... Someone else. Why do you ask?
They were a popular carnival act in Austria when I was teaching there. Something about you two reminded me of them.
Well, the princess and I are not exactly a vaudeville team, Professor.
I wonder what became of that act. I must find out before the seance tomorrow.
Really, Professor, what can that have to do with Princess Stella and the Rollins prize money?
It may have everything to do with it, Jordan. I'm rather certain that the Countess and the Clown are fugitives from justice.
The Avenger and the Ghost Murder.
Fern, we can't let Princess Stella get away with this ghost business. There's got to be an answer here in the seance room. Examine that radiator, Fern. I'll take this one.
This one's cold, Jim.
That's strange. This one is warm. Turn the valve, Fern. Maybe the heat's turned off.
Okay.
I'll see about the other radiators.
Right, Jim.
Fern, one of these radiators is warm and one is cold.
What do you make of it, Jim?
Don't know yet. I turn the heat on. We'll give them a chance to warm up.
Even though we never held the same ideas, Gans, I never thought you'd deliberately oppose me in a thing like this. I had it on good authority that your vote was the only one against me.
I admit it, Strong. I don't think you're fitted to be head of a research foundation. Such a position requires an older man. Wide experience.
Like yourself, I suppose? So that was the reason for it. You want the position yourself.
Now listen here, Strong. Mind your tongue.
Gentlemen, what's the trouble?
Brandon, Professor Gans blackballed me. I'd have been elected head of the Lansdowne Foundation if it hadn't been for him and his petty personal ambition.
Now this is a matter between you and me, Strong. Let's keep it that way. I voted in good faith for what I believe to be the good of the Foundation.
Your day is coming, Gans. I'll get you for this.
Are you gentlemen ready to begin?
Everyone is waiting.
Well, Jordan, I see you've decided to brazen it out.
If you have anything to say to me, Professor Gans, say it in private.
I'm afraid that won't be possible. My news will be of interest to the public. But I have decided to let you put your show on first. My news can wait.
I'll call everyone in, then.
Just a moment, Princess Stella. Will you sit at this end of the table today?
Very well, Mr. Brandon. It makes no difference to me.
Thank you. Turn out the lights, Jordan. I'll keep my flashlight on you.
All right.
Now, take your place in the circle, and everyone join hands. Hayden will hold my right wrist so that my hand will be free to turn on this flashlight in an instant. There. Are you ready, Princess?
I am ready. I call upon some friendly spirit. Let my voice penetrate these walls and travel on wings of wind. Out there in the vast unknown, I seek a friend, a lonely, unhappy spirit. I would call you back from the dark, lost valley of the beyond. Come, spirit, manifest thyself. The veil is lifted. The boundary between the living and the dead is not a barrier. It is but a frail cloud of mortal man's uncertainty. Come, kind spirit,
appear. The spirit approaches. Who calls? Who calls me?
There it is, in the corner. Ghost.
It's there, all right. Keep your hands joined, everyone. I'll turn on the lights.
Hurry, Brandon, it's already disappearing.
It's gone. Jim, look, Professor Gans, he must have fainted.
Help me, Brandon. We'll get him out of here.
Don't touch him, Strong.
Why not?
Look closely. There's a small dagger below his heart.
What?
Professor Gans is dead. Well, the police have confirmed my suspicions, Fern. Professor Gans was killed by a poison dagger.
Any prints on it?
It was too smudged to be of any value.
Jim, up until now, I've never believed in ghosts. But you'll have to admit that no living person in that room could have thrown that dagger. No one broke the circle for a second.
So you're willing to pin this murder on a ghost?
Well, how do you explain it, then?
The ghost is the only one that we can rule out. Because, you see, there wasn't any ghost.
There wasn't any? But, Jim, we saw it twice.
What we saw was nothing more than a clever mixture of muriatic acid and ammonia vapor released through tiny holes in the dummy radiator. One radiator at each end of the room was a dummy.
But how did the ghost disappear so quickly?
The gas was operated by an automatic pressure gauge in the basement. It was timed to last for 10 seconds. And that spiral, whirling effect was due to the intermittent release of air which circulated about the vapor. At the end of 10 seconds, the whole thing was dissolved by a very light spray of ammonia and water, also released from the radiator.
Gosh, I almost believed in that ghost. Especially after you placed Princess Stella at the opposite end of the table for the second seance.
That's why they had 2 sets of radiators in that room, just in case a skeptic made a request like that.
But what of the voice, Jim? It didn't come from anyone in the room. It came from the ghost.
Well, that's easy. Princess Stella is an accomplished ventriloquist.
Well, there goes my ghost story right up the chimney, or I should say right down the radiator.
Fern, I don't want any of this revealed until we know who murdered Gans.
All right, Jim. But I don't see how we're ever going to find that out.
At the moment, neither do I. But we'll keep trying.
Is the inspector still questioning Jordan, Strong, and the princess?
Yes, but we'll have to let them go for lack of evidence.
I wonder if Jordan had time to put on his socks before he went to headquarters.
His socks?
Yes. Our fashion plate disillusioned me. He appeared at that last seance without any socks.
Well, Fern, get your coat. We're going to the gymnasium.
Whatever for, Jim?
I'm interested in seeing a little professional boxing. I've often heard those French savate boxes are something to see.
Stella, what are you doing?
I'm packing, Jordan. I'm going to pull out.
Don't be a fool, Stella. We're under bond. You've got to stay here and stick things out.
You suit yourself. I'm leaving.
Now listen to me, Stella. We still have a chance to pull through all this and win that $50,000 prize. You've got to go through with that seance today.
If we stay here, we'll wind up in jail no matter how the seance turns out.
What are you getting at? The police have no evidence against us. Strong was the only one with a motive for killing Gans. We're in the clear.
You're wrong, Jordan. Jim Brandon knows we had a motive for killing Gans.
Brandon? How could he know anything?
I heard the inspector tell Brandon to search Gans' apartment. Since Gans knows who we were and all about the trouble that you got us into in Vienna, he must have had some proof of it. Brandon has that proof now, and he's just waiting for the proper time to use it.
That does put us in a spot.
We've got to get out of here, Jordan. I'm afraid.
What are you afraid of, Stella? Did you kill Gans?
How dare you say that?
Now, take it easy, Stella. Listen, I'll make a deal with you. If you'll stay here and go through with this seance, I promise you have nothing to fear from Brandon.
What are you talking about, Jordan? You wouldn't try...
Don't worry about what Brandon knows, that's all. Is it a deal?
I don't know. How do I know I'm not next on the murderer's list?
You're being hysterical. Now, come on now. Get things ready for your performance. If you make it a good one, Stella, we'll be on Easy Street.
Oh, Mr. Jordan, may I speak with you a moment?
Of course, Miss Collier. What is it?
Well, Mr. Brandon is busy at police headquarters and won't be able to get here for the seance.
But he must. This is the final test for the prize.
You're to go on with the seance as usual. It is understood that if you convince Strong and Hayden that Princess Stella has brought about a genuine manifestation, the prize is hers.
All right. I'll call the princess.
are ready. Close the door, please, Mr. Jordan, and turn out the lights.
Yes, Princess.
Jordan, wait a moment. What was that noise?
I don't know. It seemed to come from just outside the door. But there's no one there.
Well, close the door, then, and let's get started. Join the circle, Jordan. Let me warn you all, do not break the circle, no matter what happens. Let silence reign a moment. Spirit of another world, come to us. Manifest thyself to those who do not believe. Show thyself within this room. Come, spirit, appear, appear and speak. Who disturbs this spirit?
I am the spirit of Alvin Gans.
Something is wrong. Turn on the lights.
Stay where you are, all of you, and hear me out. Ghosts of the murdered have a right to speak.
Turn your flashlight on him, Dr. Strong.
There's no one there.
I'm here, but you can't see me.
It cannot be a ghost. It cannot be.
You admit before witnesses, Princess Stella, that you have no power to produce a ghost?
Yes, yes. But tell me who you are.
I am the Avenger, Stella. I am here to accuse Claude Jordan of the murder of Professor Gans.
It's a lie. That's a lie. This is some sort of trick you're playing on me, Stella.
It's no trick, Jordan. I'll turn on the lights and produce the evidence.
It's a frame-up. Stella!
Strong and Hayden, search Jordan.
Examine
his left leg. You'll find something interesting there.
Let me go.
Why, there's a small bow and arrow attached to his leg.
And fastened underneath it is a small dagger like the one used to kill Gans.
Yes, oh,
that's right.
Strong, call Inspector White. Tell him Jordan is ready to give him an exhibition of some amazing footwork.
Furnish the clue that solved this murder case.
I did. What, Jim?
You noticed that Jordan wasn't wearing socks at the seance when Gans was killed.
Well, how was that a clue?
The thing that had us stumped until then was the certain knowledge that no one at that seance could have used his hands to drive that dagger into Gans' heart.
That's right.
But what if a person were just as dexterous with his feet as with his hands?
You mean he could have thrown the dagger with his feet?
Hardly thrown it, but he could have aimed it with his feet.
Oh, I see. That little bow and arrow fastened to Jordan's leg could be set, aimed, and released by his other foot.
That's right. After I'd figured that out, I realized that the smudge print on the dagger could have been a toe print.
Oh, so that's why we went to the gymnasium to see those savate boxers who boxed with their feet.
Yes. One of those boxers demonstrated my theory of how the crime was committed, without moving the upper part of his body at all.
Jim, just what was it that Professor Gans knew about Princess Stella and Jordan? The motive for the murder?
Jordan was mixed up in a killing in Vienna about 20 years ago that Gans happened to remember. He intended to expose Jordan after the seance that day. And Jordan knew it.
There seems to be no limit to the methods of murder.
They don't give us detectives a chance to grow complacent.
No. This one really had you on your toes.
Oh, a pun, Miss Collier, that some would call a very murderous weapon.
All characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of...
The Avenger.
I'm going to step in here for just a moment to remind you that we have a streaming service called the Radio Theater Channel. And you can go to that website, click on the listen button, and hear all these great shows that are streaming all the time. There's a schedule there, too, on the blog page that you might want to check out. The address is oldtimeradiolisten.com. That's oldtimeradiolisten.com, all one word. And it's great listening, so be sure to check that out. Now, this next program is called Easy Money. And it's got an interesting premise, kind of a crime-fighting thing, too. We have a magician that knows all the tricks about that are used by confidence men, and he's going to break up the football pool racket. This is the premiere for the show. This comes from October 3rd of 1954.
Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents the first program in a new series, exposing the inside secrets of gamblers, racketeers, and con men. It's called Easy Money.
Easy Money? There's no such thing as easy money.
That's the opinion of Mike Trent, the famous magician who turned detective to break the easy money rackets wide open. Mike Trent is the man who knows all the answers when it comes to confidence games and gambling frauds. Tonight, he has a story that's going to blow off the lid on the football pool swindle. Here he is, Mike Trent.
Thank you, Bill McCord. In this sports-minded country of ours, almost all of us have had experience with making up our own pool on football, baseball, or boxing. It's a small-time, harmless amusement. But there's another kind of pool, and that's the big-time football pool. A nationwide lottery based on the scores of the leading games each week. Well, getting inside of this kind of a pool has always been a tough problem. These pools are big business, with a network of straw bosses out front and a head man whose identity is a mighty well-kept secret. I had the luck, good or bad, to get a personal invitation to meet one of these football lottery kingpins. It came suddenly and surprisingly one day while I was in my office with Patsy Ryan, the little Irish whirlwind who runs my office. And, occasionally tries to run me as well. She was typing a letter when all of a sudden she said...
Mike, with your reputation as a detective, why do you have to take the kind of cases you do?
What's wrong with the kind of cases I take, Patsy? I like to help people get their money back when they've been gypped.
But the people you have to associate with... Well, Mike, they're just...
There's nothing wrong with my clients, Patsy. They've just been trapped by easy money bait. It can happen to almost anybody.
I'm not talking about your clients. Oh, I feel sorry for most of them. But your work keeps you constantly around gangsters, hoodlums, cheap racketeers.
Well, what kind of a detective would I have to be to hobnob exclusively with the upper crust?
Well, I don't know any other detective who never brushes up against honest, respectable people. Oh, really, Mike? You're clever enough to handle bigger things.
Patsy, do you know any detective who makes more money than I do or charges his clients less?
Now, that's not the point. Money is not...
Money isn't everything? No. No, it isn't, but, I get a lot of satisfaction from helping my clients, Patsy. Getting their money back for them, money they can't afford to lose. And I like to teach racketeers a lesson. Patsy, there's only one way you can hurt a racketeer without killing him, and that's hitting him in the pocketbook. Now, my clients aren't ever crooks. They... Well, how do you do, something I can do for you, gentlemen?
Yeah, we got a case for you.
Oh, a case? What kind of a case?
Well, this is one...
Got it, Lenny. The boss said he'd do the talking. Look, Trent, there's a lot of dough in this. You'll make plenty.
Yeah, come on.
Come on where?
To see the boss. He wants a conference with you. This is a real big business type stuff. A conference.
Oh, but just who is the boss?
He's the guy
who... Shut up, Lenny. He said don't spill nothing.
But Crash...
No buts. You heard him say bring Trent and anybody else happens to be in his office. No rough stuff he can help it, but bring him. And don't tell him nothing. Remember, Lenny?
Well, sure, Krabs, but...
Orders is orders. All right, come on, both of you.
The dame, too, but she...
No buts. Orders. Both of you, come on.
Well, just where do you think you're going to talk me into going?
To the bar.
Quiet. Mister, you're going with us, and we ain't talking you into it. We're taking you. No rough stuff, if we can help it.
Yes, but I presume that bulge in your pocket isn't a slingshot.
It's a 38. Only I won't use it.
Oh, Lenny? Well, if you'll give me a guarantee on that, I don't think I'll go with you.
I won't use it. Lenny takes care of the rough stuff with his fists. You want to try him?
No, thanks. But what's this all about, anyway?
But the boss wants
to... Shut up, Lenny. Let the boss do the talking. You ready?
Now, look, fellas, there's no reason why Miss Ryan should be forced to go along.
Orders.
I don't mind at all, Michael. Really. If your clients weren't such lovely people, it would be different. But they're always such upright, respectable citizens. I'd love to go with you. Tell me, this is where we're stopping.
You like it? The boss
Never
said...
mind, Lenny.
Why, it's one of the most beautiful country estates I ever saw in my life. And I thought we were involved with gangsters. Oh, Michael, I apologize. Apparently you have a very high-class client here.
A lady, we ain't gangsters. We got one of
Never
the
mind what we got. The boss will tell him what he wants him to know. All right, come on, get out.
Here he comes now to meet us.
Mike, this is fantastic. Just as I make up my mind we've been kidnapped by hoodlums... We pull up at this gorgeous estate, and that handsome elderly man comes down the lawn to greet us.
Here they are, boss.
Well, well. Good afternoon, Mr. Trent. Delighted to meet you. I've heard so much about your work. I'm happy you accepted my invitation.
Invitation?
Won't you introduce me to the charming young lady, Mr. Trent? She's quite welcome here, I assure you. Any friend of yours...
Quite a charming way you pick your weekend guests, Mr.
Oh, how stupid of me. I haven't introduced myself. Carvel. Barton H. Carvel. And the young lady, Mr. Trent?
Hmm? Oh, Miss Patsy Ryan.
Oh, well, so glad you could come, Miss Ryan. You're going to enjoy your stay here, I'm sure.
Just how long am I invited for?
Oh, that ready Irish wit, eh? I've always so admired it. Won't you come up to the house? We can talk much more freely there, and you must be very tired after your ride.
Sorry, Mr. Carvel. I don't know what your game is, but I don't think I'm having any, thanks.
Oh, now, Mr. Trent, please try not to be difficult. I lead a most respectable and conventional life here. I try to keep my employees from using any kind of violence. Won't you please cooperate?
You want him up at the house right away, don't you, boss?
Oh, now, Grabs. Try to remember that these people are our guests. We want them to feel welcome.
Well, so don't use any...
Not unless...
But then...
That's right, Grabs.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, Mr. Trent, I'm so glad you understand. Well, this way, please.
Now, what's this all about, Carvel? I don't get it. And why did your guerrillas force Miss Ryan to come with me?
She happened to be in your office. She might have caused trouble. In my business, I don't take any chances, Trent.
Well, just what is your business?
Are you acquainted with football pools, Mr. Trent?
You mean the gambling racket where the customer pays a dollar for a ticket with a combination of football or baseball teams and a score, and the high score for the week wins a prize?
Precisely. Rather roughly stated, but you do grasp the basic elements. Mr. Trent, I own the King Midas football and baseball pools.
A big business tycoon. Oh, I knew you couldn't be a racketeer, Mr. Carvel, the minute I saw you. Now think of it, Michael. The King Midas football pool.
Miss Ryan, I don't appreciate your sarcasm. As a matter of information, it is big business. Much bigger than you realize. I have a network of distributors in nearly every state of the Union, each with numerous agents who deliver the pool tickets to cigar stores and handbooks. We offer a weekly first prize of $1,000, with numerous local prizes that total several times that much.
Well, you're pretty reckless with your money, aren't you? Sell $100,000 or more worth of tickets a week and only give back a couple of thousand.
I've never complained about the profits. The point is, for the last 2 weeks, there haven't been any profits.
Oh. You don't mean to say the public's finally gotten wise to what a gyp your racket is. 100,000 to 1 shot that pays off 1,000 to 1.
I don't care for that type of comment, Trent. Please confine your activity to listening for the time being.
Sure, go ahead. I'm listening.
What the betting public calls the payoff is vitally important in my business. Promptness in giving out the $1,000 prize awards is imperative. The average little man in the street gambler loves long shots. He doesn't complain when he loses, but let him win and have any trouble collecting his money, and he yells to high heaven.
So you're a student of psychology, too, huh?
Oh, yes, indeed. Now, getting back to my story, 2 weeks ago, we got a report of a winner, as usual. I wired the $1,000 to my agent in the territory with instructions to deliver the award.
And the agent skipped with the $1,000?
No, he paid it. But I'd no sooner gotten the report of a winner than another report came in from another city and state. $1,000 again.
Two people held winning combinations, huh?
Two people held the same combination, and that's impossible. No two of the pool tickets are alike.
But they were this time, huh?
Not two, but 10, Mr. Trent. 10 tickets calling for payment of $1,000.
What'd you do about it?
I paid off. Paid $10,000 knowing that 9 of the winners were fraudulent.
I imagine you could afford it.
Yes, I could. It was apparent that there was some organized attempt at dishonesty. The tickets, the winning ones, were all sent to me.
And 9 of them were forgeries?
9 of them had to be forgeries, Mr. Trent. But I don't know yet which is really the winning ticket. They're identical. The same kind of paper, the same type, the same printing ink. My printer can't tell which ticket he printed and which are the fakes.
So somebody picked up $9,000 without much work. Pretty clever.
This last week, there were 25 winners. $25,000.
Wow. You ought to go to the police.
Miss Ryan, I am not amused. Now then, this has to stop, Trent. Somebody's framing me, trying to run me right out of business.
Very interesting, Mr. Carvel. Now, just what do you want me to do?
You're acquainted with this sort of thing. You have a reputation for it. I want you to find out who's behind this before I'm ruined.
Mm-mm. Sorry, Mr. Carvel. Right information, wrong man.
Your business is catching crooks, gambling crooks.
Crooks who are trying to cheat honest people, Carvel. But crooks who try to cheat crooked gamblers have my blessing.
Be careful what you say, Trent. I am not crooked. I pay off.
Oh, sure. Sure, $1,000 a week against a take at least 100 times that. Oh, you're a public benefactor, you are, aren't you? Taking dollars from errand boys. People who go without lunch to take a chance on winning $1,000 because it seems like all the money in the world to them. Giving them such a slim chance, they might just as well toss their money right in the river. You're not a crook? I disagree.
Whether you agree or not is not important. I want you to find out who's trying to ruin me.
And I said no thanks.
I'm prepared to pay you $50,000 for your services, if you find the guilty party for me.
On a level?
I shall post the money with a reliable person.
Oh, Michael, you wouldn't...
Please, Patsy, $50,000 is a lot of money.
But, Mike, Trent, you can.
I rather think I can, Patsy. Yeah, well, see you later, Mr. Carvel.
Not so fast, Mr. Trent. You're conducting your investigations from here.
Oh, well, I'll have to get out and talk to some of your agents around the country, your distributors, the retail places, some of the winners.
That's one reason why you'll work from here. You'll have Grabs as your chauffeur on those trips. He's an excellent driver, and he never gets lost. He knows his way home.
But how about me? I'm not staying here, am I?
I'm afraid you are.
What?
Now, Patsy, let's not question Mr. Carvel's hospitality, especially since it'll keep on costing him $25,000 a week not to make us welcome.
What? Oh, no. No, not another
one. Looks like, boss. Here's the phone.
Well, you answer it. I'm sick. 49 winners this week. $49,000.
Hello? Yeah. Winner, huh? Okay, give me the name and address. Sure, we'll pay off. Just give
no,
me...
No, we can't go on like this. I won't pay off. I won't be robbed by a bunch of dirty crooks.
Easy, boss.
There's nothing else you can do. You've got to pay.
I have to do no such thing. When swindlers deliberately set out to rob me blind, I don't have
Remember what happened to Joe Framwell, boss? He didn't pay off on a ticket, and he went out of business awful quick with a bullet through his head from a bum loser.
But I... Don't talk about him.
And even if the winners don't get sore enough to plug you, you're still out of business. Nobody's buying pool tickets without a payoff.
But, great Scott, how many payoffs do there have to be? 50 this week, $50,000. Trent!
Yes, Mr. Scruggs.
Trent, you've accomplished nothing so far. Good Lord, man, I can't wait around here all summer.
Now, if I could talk to you alone without Lenny and Grabs around, I might be able to help you.
Now, look, mister, if you think you're going to frame Grabs and me on
Shut
this
up.
Business...
Let him talk.
Well, I think he's bluffing.
Look, when I'm working for $50,000, I don't bluff. And I wouldn't take a chance of letting someone jip me out of it by tipping off the guilty party.
Oh, so that's your angle, eh? All right, boys, clear out.
Yes, and get far enough from the door so your ears can't pick up anything either, huh?
You want us to go, boss, on the level?
Trent doesn't have a gun. He couldn't do anything.
He could try to get away from here.
With Miss Ryan still here? No, no. I don't think so. Go on.
Oh, if you say so. Hey, come on.
Now look, boss, if he tries anything, you just holler. We'll be waiting.
Well, all right, Trent. What is this strictly confidential matter you want to discuss?
I found your man.
What? Then why in the name of common sense haven't
you... Not so fast, Carvel. I won't talk until you put your money on the line.
Now, look, I'm not giving you the money till you've given me something besides mysterious talk.
Oh, I don't want your money until I've delivered the man to you with absolute proof of his guilt.
Oh.
You want to get away? Is that your angle?
Well, you still have Miss Ryan.
Well, how long will you need to be gone?
Not over 3 or 4 hours, alone. No Grabs or Lenny to help me.
All right, very well, I think that can be arranged. But no tricks, remember. Because Miss Ryan will still be here. You'd hate to have anything happen to her, wouldn't you?
Oh, if anything happens to her, Carvel, you'll regret it as much as I will.
What? You mean to say Mike Trent drove off and left me here alone?
Oh, now, my dear, you're not in any danger. That is, unless he tries to be dishonest with me.
I can't understand him anyway. Taking a case from a crook like you.
Oh, careful with your language, my dear.
It isn't like Mike. He hates your kind of people.
Oh, he has something in common with most sensible men, Miss Ryan. He likes money, especially in large, round figures. Yes, Grabs?
Oh, boss, you shouldn't have let that guy Trent get away from here alone.
No? Why not?
He might have gone straight to the cops. I may come back here with a couple of squad cars.
Well, you don't say.
But he could do it, boss, easy. And with what he's got on you, oh, boy.
You're a genius, Grabs, a positive genius. Just why do you think I had Lenny tail him?
Huh?
You mean you didn't let him leave alone?
My dear, I never take chances. If he tries to bring any law enforcement officers into this, I'll get a call from Lenny. There won't be anyone here when they get back.
What?
Not even you.
I can't understand what's taking Michael so long. How long did you say he'd be gone?
Hey, he's back, boss. Just coming in the driveway.
Alone?
Oh, there's somebody with him. A dame.
What? A woman? Oh, but that's impossible.
Nothing's impossible with Mike.
Yeah, not even a very good-looking dame, Mike. Not anywhere near as good-looking as...
Well, thank you, Grabs. I'm flattered half to death.
She's kind of, shabby from what I've seen of her.
Michael Trent. What in the world?
Hi, Patsy. Sorry I had to leave about you. I hope you weren't worried.
Worried? Mike Trent, someday I'm going to...
If we might dispense with a little social amenities, please. Trent, do you want me to believe that this woman with you is the crook who's been trying to run me out of business?
Well, I told you I'd bring back the guilty party, didn't I? This is Mrs. Joe Framwell.
What?
Remember? Joe Framwell, he was a competitor of yours. He got shot for not paying off on a winning baseball pool.
But that's a lie. He was murdered by these crooks. scare their competition out of business.
Madam, please, do you think I'd soil my hands with murder?
Don't put on such a noble act, Mr. Carvel. You killed Joe. Maybe not with your own gun. Maybe not in person. But you sent out the word.
I'd like to get this straight. Mrs. Bramwell, your husband was in competition with Carvel, running another football pool?
Yes, but he was just one of the little people out in front who take the chances for the big shots. Carvel's outfit began making threats, telling him to quit or something would happen to him. They told the same thing to the other agents, but they had to pick Joe for their fall guy.
As I remember this case, he was found with a winning number in his hand and a bullet through his head. It was proved he worked for some little fly-by-night football pool outfit. Whether he was given the money to pay off the winner and kept it for himself...
Lie like that. Joe was honest. He wouldn't steal from anybody. He wouldn't have been doing such dirty, rotten work if he hadn't been framed and sent to jail once, so he couldn't get a job anywhere else. He wasn't hurting anybody. If other people were doing dishonest things around him, well, he had to make a living.
My dear lady, did it ever occur to you that your husband might have been killed by members of his own organization?
No, you killed him. Your outfit made all the threats. You wanted it all to yourself, all that dishonest money.
Just a minute. You admit that you're responsible for what's been happening to me.
Admit it? I'm proud of it. And I'll keep right on doing it until you're out of business.
I'm afraid you're quite mistaken there, Mrs. Bramwell. Also, I'm hurt that you should be so vindictive.
You bet I'm vindictive. Maybe Joe didn't amount to so much, but we were in love with each other. He was just trying to make a living, trying to make enough to get by. And then a dirty crook like you comes along and kills him. And now you're sorry I'm vindictive.
Don't get hysterical, Mrs. Bramwell. Now then, just how have you been doing all this?
Oh, don't you wish you knew?
Frankly, yes.
Well, you're never going to find out.
Do you have any idea how she managed to work this business, Brent? I simply can't understand it.
It's ridiculously simple, Carvel.
Oh? Then suppose you explain.
Surely. Mrs. Bramwell made arrangements with a good printer. She bought a few baseball pool tickets and told the printer she wanted exact copies, even as to paper. She was willing to pay well enough to make it worthwhile. How about it, Mrs. Bramwell? Am I correct so far?
Yes.
But the people with the winning numbers from different cities all over the country, she couldn't...
But she did. The first week, she had people in 10 different cities go in and buy a football pool ticket. The minute the last game was over, her printer fixed up the fake tickets. The tickets were delivered to her stooges real fast.
Oh, you're out of your head, ma'am. The woman didn't have the money for an operation like that. Why, it would take a whole organization, a big organization, and it would cost a good deal.
Oh. If what Mr. Trent has told me is correct, however, Mrs. Bramwell, I propose to find out from you who invested that money.
And do you think you could do anything that would hurt me worse than what you've already done? Murdering Joe? Oh, no. And you're through, Carvel. Washed up.
On the contrary, Mrs. Bramwell. It's you who are washed up.
Ah, Grabs. Where have you been?
Putting Trent and the dame's luggage in the car, like you told me.
Isn't Lenny back yet?
I ain't seen hide nor trace of him.
Odd. He was supposed to stay right behind Trent. And I'd like him to take Trent and Miss Ryan back to the city immediately.
So? I was being followed, huh?
Naturally. I told you before, old man, that I don't take chances.
Even if it means breaking a promise?
Honesty and promises have their place, but not in my business. I wish Lenny would hurry up.
Well, I could drive back myself if you're so anxious to have me leave, and Lenny could pick up the car in town tomorrow.
No, we'll have to wait.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Carvel, Miss Ryan and I aren't ever supposed to reach town, are we?
Why, my dear fellow... I simply don't know what you're talking about.
Nobody knows you're connected with the King Midas football pool. You've spent a lot of money on your masquerade as an amiable retired businessman. You've hired plenty of front men, but nobody's ever been able to get to the boss.
You're being rather melodramatic, aren't you?
Patsy and I know all about your connections, Carvel. We know who your key men are. If we ever talked, you could get the book.
You'd hardly betray me after my paying you $50,000.
I'm not going to hold my breath till I get that money.
Well, Mr. Trent, I congratulate you. You're even more astute than I thought.
You mean to say you don't plan to pay Mike that money?
Well, I would have preferred to play the game to the finish, but if he wants to be blunt about it, well, it can't hurt anything now, can it?
You got him here to help you, to do a dirty job, to...
to bring in a woman who had plenty of reason for trying to hurt you. And after he's done the job, you'd kill him?
Miss Ryan, I'm genuinely sorry that there's no other way to handle things, but I could hardly trust either of you. You should be able to appreciate my position.
Michael, why don't you slug him?
Now go ahead, Michael. Try it. I dare you.
Now, Grabs. Mr. Trent has performed a service for us. We mustn't be any more unpleasant than is necessary. Now then, who financed your plot against me, Mrs. Framwell? Either you'll tell...
No.
Oh, go ahead and tell him, Mrs. Framwell.
What? You mean really?
Mm-hmm. I mean really. It can't hurt now.
I'm waiting, Mrs. Framwell. Who financed your little scheme?
It was Mr. Trent.
I'm afraid you don't understand, Mrs. Framwell. I said I wouldn't stand for any nonsense. Who financed you?
I told you. Mr. Trent.
She's telling the truth, Carvel. I financed her. As a matter of fact, I planned the whole scheme from start to finish.
Isn't that a bit fantastic?
The police believe Joe Framwell was killed by a holder of a winning football pool ticket, one who hadn't been paid off. Well, they weren't able to find anyone who'd bragged about holding a winning ticket. That struck me as odd.
Go on.
Getting a winner in a football pool happens so seldom, the average person brags to high heaven about it. He advertises. But we couldn't find anybody who'd held that winning ticket.
Perhaps the murderer was discreet enough to keep quiet.
There was a glaring fallacy to what the police were supposed to believe. You see, if a man had held a winning ticket and had come to Framwell expecting to be paid off, he certainly wouldn't have known he was going to commit murder. That idea would never have occurred to him until after Framwell's failure to pay.
Well, brilliant deduction, Trent. You know, you're quite amazing. And the fake ticket gave you an idea?
Oh, no. Not till Mrs. Framwell had come to me for help. She was sure her husband had been murdered by the King Midas Pool, but she couldn't even find out who the King Midas Pool was. She wanted the head of the outfit. There didn't seem to be any head. Oh, agents, distributors, territory managers, yes, but no boss.
Quite so.
Well, getting a rat out of his hole is quite a trick. One good way to do it is to starve him out. Well, I figured the one way to bring the boss of the King Midas Pool into the open was to start banging away at his money, which I did.
But Mike, you couldn't possibly have known he'd come to you for help.
He's a very clever man, Miss Ryan. You should be quite proud of him. He took care of that rather adroitly.
How?
Practically every key man in my organization told me that Trent would be the one man who could help me.
Yes, I staged a little propaganda campaign and then hoped for the best. It worked.
Yes, it did. And now I wonder what satisfaction you're going to get from it.
Oh, any one of your breed I can put out of business is a big enough satisfaction, Carvel.
But you see, I'm not out of business. And I don't intend to be. As soon as Lenny gets back, he'll take you toward town. Lenny's loyalty is simply wonderful. I'm quite sure you'll never make it. Oh, here he is now. Lenny, what took you so long? I've been worried about you.
You're worried, huh? Look, this guy here gives me the slip on the way back. He takes all kinds of crazy turns and stuff, and I get lost.
I'm afraid you're wrong, Carvel. You see, I got rid of Lenny long enough to call the police.
What?
Yes, a couple of squad cars are on the way.
He's got a spot.
Shut up! Well, they haven't got me yet. Miss Ryan, you and I are leaving together. If they get within shooting distance, I'm using you as my shield.
This would be a good time for one of your magic tricks, Mike.
Get in front of me, Miss Ryan. Come on, move.
You heard him. Let's go.
But please.
You're too late, Carvel.
Open up to the police.
Cops boss at the door. Now, we ain't got a chance.
Better get rid of your guns, boys. They have orders to shoot anyone with a gun.
That's good enough for me. Here.
No, Grabs, don't.
I ain't swapping bullets with any squad of cops. Here.
I'll take yours, too, Carvel.
Why, you?
That's better. Now we'll all go outside, huh?
There ain't nobody here. Who was that?
Oh, I neglected to tell you, Grabs. You see, I used to be a ventriloquist.
What?
Yes, and those knocks you heard were a spirit rapping device. It's just a little gimmick that fits around your waist, you see. Little wooden sounding box with a hammer inside it. The kind children use for noisemakers. Flexing the body muscles makes it work. Here, listen.
You mean there aren't any police out here?
Well, sometimes you don't need the police if you have a good gimmick. So, from here on, Carvel, you're my guest. Let's go.
And here's the ex-magician turned rackets detective for a final word.
Thank you. Well, I hope you all enjoyed tonight's story. The big-time football and baseball pool racket gives you such a slim chance, it doesn't have to be crooked. It's just a fancy form of larceny. I hope you don't fall for it. Next week, I'm going to bring you a story about one of the most elegant devices for parting people from their money. A crooked roulette wheel. If you've ever played roulette or wanted to play the game, I think you'll find it most enlightening. Until then, this is Mike Trent signing off with the thought that when you gamble with a professional, he isn't doing any gambling. Remember, there's no such thing as easy money.
Be sure to listen next Sunday night at this time for another exposé of gambling frauds and confidence games featuring Mike Trent, the famous ex-magician turned rackets detective. Featured in tonight's cast were Larry Haynes, Jerry Ann Raphael, Irene Wicker, Ivor Francis, and Maurice Tarplin. Easy Money is produced and directed by Blair Walliser for Air Shows Incorporated. Tonight's script was written by George B. Anderson. This is Bill McCord speaking.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.